Today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Kuf Yud Beis. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Vitano Didan, about 15 lines before the end of the page on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara was discussing three different shitos about how many of the dinim of paying a worker late apply to paying for a rental of Behem and Kalim. How many of the dinim apply to when a person is employing a ger toshav, and we're dealing with the three different shitos and how each shita derives their opinion from the pesukim. Then the Gemara is going to have different interpretations of the pasuk ve'elav hu noseas nafsho. What exactly does that mean? What exactly is the Torah trying to teach us? We have machlokas whose life a kovish schar sachir is guilty of taking, because one of the interpretations of ve'elav hu noseas nafsho is that he's guilty of taking someone's life. Is it his own life? Is it the employee's life? Then the Gemara is going to have three exceptions to the iser of delaying payment to an employee, and all of the exceptions are going to be based on a single word in the pasuk, itcha. Itcha is going to teach us that the iser only applies in certain circumstances, but there are three major exceptions. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether there's an iser of baltolin by a kablan, that a person is contracted to do a job. Is there an iser of baltolin if you don't pay him on time? And that may depend on, may or may not depend on, the concept of uman kona bishvach kli. When a person is working on a kli, does he gain a kinyan in that kli as he continues to work on that kli? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the nature of the halacha that a socher is nishba v'notel. There's some dispute about whether the payment was made already. Socher says, you haven't paid me yet. And the master says, sure, of course I paid you already. So the halacha is a socher is nishba v'notel. Why is it that the socher is nishba v'notel? And also, what kind of din is this? Is this a halacha l'moshe misinai, a takana d'rabbanan? What exactly is the nature of this din that a socher is nishba v'notel? So let's begin again from Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Vitano di Dun. So the Gemara is now again still working through the different shitos as to which of the two parshios relating to paying a worker late relates to a rental payment for Behem of a Kalim, and which relates to a Ger Toshav. So Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah, who holds that Behem of a Kalim, you violate everything, all of the parshios that relate to paying a worker late, but by a Ger Toshav, you only violate those Yisurim that are said in Sefer Devarim, but not the ones that are said in Sefer Vayikra. So Manu if you have a Ger Toshav Sachir Sachir that links the two parshios, I feel a Ger Toshav Nami, then even by a Ger Toshav you should be in violation of everything. And if you don't derive that Ger Toshav Sachir Sachir, then where do you get the idea that Behema and Kalim are included in everything? So says Mar Liolam Lo Yalav Sachir Sachir. Really, the Tana does not derive Sachir Sachir. V'shayni Asam Damer Krav Lo Solim Kula Sachir Itcha Ad Boker. But nevertheless, even though he doesn't derive the Gzer Shava of Sachir Sachir, still the reason that by Behema and Kalim are different, that you violate all the Yisurim, because the pasuk says in Sefer Vayikra that Lo Solim Kula Sachir Ad Boker, and we darshin Kol shepu'ulaso itcha, that anything that works for you and that you have to pay for it, that includes even behema and kelim, because it's pu'ulaso itcha. Says Gemara, yeah, but you know what else that should include? Iachi afilu ger toshav nami. A ger toshav is also pu'ulaso itcha. So why don't we make that same drasha and say that delaying payment for a ger toshav also includes all of the Yisurim in Vayikra and in Devarim? So says the Gemara, Amakra Reacha. Reacha v'lo ger toshav. No, the pasuk says Reacha. So Reacha is a miyut to tell me that you only are in violation when it's Reacha, but not when it's a ger toshav. That's in Sefer Vayikra. Ihach yafilu behema v'kelim nami. So then we should exclude behema and kelim also, because behema and kelim are also not Reacha. Well, haksiv itcha, but it says itcha, which is a riboy, to tell me kol shupu lasu itcha. So we have one riboy and one miyut. Itcha is marbe something, reacha is mimma'it something, so we choose to be marbe behemo kelim and mimma'it ger toshav. So says Gemara, well, Maris l'Rabbis Beim v'Kelim l'Motzi Ger Toshav. What made you decide to go in that direction, to be Marba Beim and Kelim, and to be Motzi Ger Toshav? Maybe you should have said the opposite, that a Ger Toshav is included in all the Yisurim, in Vayikra and in Devarim, and the Beim and Kelim are only included in the Bamidbar ones, not the and the Devarim ones, not the Vayikra ones. So says Gemara, Mistavra Beim v'Kelim Avle l'Rabbis. It's more Mistaver that Beim and Kelim are included in the Yisur Shekin Yeshlin Bechlal Mamon Re'acha, because they are included in the broader category of Mamon Re'acha, because Beim and Kelim are actually Mamon Re'acha. So that's and therefore they fit better the Lashon of Re'acha. So as opposed to Ger Toshav, Eina B'chal Mamon Re'acha. Ger Toshav is nothing of Re'acha. It's not Mamon Re'acha. It's certainly not Re'acha himself. Yeah, this is okay. It's certainly not Re'acha himself. So therefore, the Ger Toshav doesn't fit the word Re'acha very well at all. Now, the Tanakama, who had already derived from Me'achecha, so what's he going to do? I mean, the Tanakama of the Brisa, the Darshan, the Pasuk Me'achecha, and holds that through Gzeirah Shavah we include all the different types of schiras to be included in all of the asaros that it says in Sefer Vayikra. So, hi Re'acha me'avdile. What does he learn from the word Re'acha? Meaning, which implies that a ger is not included in the yisur. Tanakam holds a ger is included in all the yisurim. So, what are you going to do with Re'acha? Homi ba'ilei l'chadetanya. He uses it for the following drasha. Re'acha velo amaleki. Re'acha teaches me and not an amaleki. The Rishonim point out, lav dafka amaleki. It means a guy. It's just, we use Amaleki as an example of a guy. He's a spitz guy. You know, if you want to have like the best guy, and Amaleki is he's really a guy. Amaleki me'achecha nafka. So says the Gemara. Amaleki we already learned from Achecha. Says the Gemara. Chad the mishra oshka v'chad the mishra gzelo. Now we need two psukim. One to tell me that you're allowed to be oshik schar sachir of a guy, that you're allowed to delay in the payment, and the other tell me that even gezel agai is mutter. Utsrichi the iashmin and gzelo, and we need both of these psukim, because if it only would have told me that gezel agai is mutter, I would have said mishum to lo tarach bay. Aval oshko de tarach bay emalo. I would say, yeah, gezel agai, probably he didn't even work hard for that money. Maybe he got it by Yerusha, maybe he himself stole it. Whatever, I don't know that he necessarily worked for the money. But if the guy is working for me, so I know that he worked for the money, I know that he earned the money, so it's much worse not to pay him. So I would think that there's that we would not apply any exception, and that it would be included in the Yisr. V'yeshmin Oshko, and if it only would have told me that there's an Yisr of Oshko, Mishum Tulas Aliyade, because I'm not actually stealing from him if I'm Oshik, if I don't pay him his wages, I'm just withholding. Aval Gzela Das Aliyade, but Gzela is something that he already had possession of. Say, Malo, I might think that should not be included in the exception. Tzricha, and that's why we need both examples. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hailo, Salim, Pula, Sachir, Chad, Boker, my Avodai. What does Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda do with Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda hold that Behem and Kalim are darshened only by Schir Laila and Sefer Devarim, and we don't apply the dinim of Sefer Vayikra to Behema and Kalim? What do they do? What does he do with the pasuk of Lo Salim Pula Sachir Itcha Ad Boker? Meaning, what's he going to be marber from the pasuk? Because he holds you can't be marber Behema Kalim, because Behema and Kalim is not included. So Mibayle Lichd Rav Asi, he uses it to teach us what Rav Asi teaches us. Tam Rav Asi Afilu Loscharo Elivtzo Lo Eshkalecho Shalanavim over Mishum Baltalin. That even if all you hired him is not even for a whole day, you hired him to harvest one cluster of grapes just for a short while, still it's a violation of Baltalin if you don't pay him on time. The Idach, what about the Tanavar Mishnah, who already uses the Pasuk to be Marba Behem and Kalim? Where is he going to know the Isra of Baltalin even when you just hire him for a short period of time, not even for a whole day, not even for a whole night? So where is he going to learn it from? The Idach, Miveelah, and this is the first of three potential drashas we're going to have from this pasuk. Ve'elav hu noseyas nafsho. He derives it from ve'elav hu noseyas nafsho. Davra moser nafsho alav. As long as it's something that he was moser nefesh alav, that the socher was moser nefesh, even it doesn't matter how long the schiris was. It could be the shortest schiris in the world. It's something that's moser nafsho alav. That's where you have an isra of baltalin. Ve'idach homi bayu le'lichadetan. Tanya. And the other Shita, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, I already need Ve'lov v'noseyes nafsho. Tell me the following drasha. Ve'lov v'noseyes nafsho mipnei ma'olo zabikevesh v'nitla v'ilan u'masra satsvul misa. Why is this person doing all these crazy dangerous things? He's going up high ramps and he's hanging off of trees and he's window washing on skyscrapers and he's doing all these seemingly very crazy and dangerous things. It used to be people didn't do these things just for thrills. So he was, why is he doing all of this? Lo al scharo, isn't it so that he can get paid? Meaning that's the point. He's risking his life for his job. So that's why Lo v'noseyes nafsho is to drive home the point of how important it is to pay him. That the guy is putting his life in danger by doing many of the jobs that we ask our employees to do. So obviously it's very critical that one pay him. The debut in his famous tshuva Madur Tinyan in Yerdei Seminyud, where he's asked about whether it's okay for a Jew to have a hobby of hunting. So he raises this Gemara, he raises this idea that he says is a difference between a hobby and a job. He says as a hobby, it's not really a very Jewish hobby. Esav, Nimrod, you know, to say that it's mamish tzar b'lechayim, probably not because it's some tavalis or whatever, but stam, it doesn't seem like something that we should be doing. Plus, he says it's dangerous that animals often don't like when you try to kill them. So they don't really react so pleasantly to that. So it could be a very dangerous thing for a person to do. So he says, if you're going to do it because stam a hobby, so you're not supposed to do dangerous things. But we see from this Gemara that a person is supposed to accept, is permitted to accept a certain amount of risk to his physical well-being for a job. Not to be absolutely over the top, but a certain amount of risk for his job. So if that's the person's profession, it's the only way he's able to support himself, then it would be mutter. Rav Moshe was asked in a Chuvin Chashem Mishmach Chelik Alef Simon Kuf Dalin if it's mutter to earn a living by playing ball. I'm not sure what kind of ball it was, but apparently some violent sport. I don't know, maybe football or something like that. Is it mutter to earn a living? Because Echad Min Elef or something is, now they're discovering with football, it's a lot more than Echad Min Elef, but Echad Min Elef, you know, it's a sakada for them. So he says that, again, this is the same idea, that it's that in our Gemara you see that there is a certain acceptable amount of risk that one is allowed to take if that is their parnasa. You know, people traveled all the time. They used to travel and go on boats and over oceans. You bench gomel. Well, what do you mean bench gomel? Don't do it. Why are you putting your life in danger? That was an acceptable thing that a person was allowed to do in order to earn a living. Okay, davar acher, a third possibility. Ve'elav unosei esnafsho. Kola kovish scharsachir kuilu notel nafsho mimenu. Someone who's kovish scharsachir, it's as if he is taking his nefesh. So whose nefesh? Whose life is he taking? Ravuna Rav Chista, machlokas Ravuna Rav Chista. Chadom or nafsho shel gazlan, vechadom or nafsho shel nigzal. One opinion says that it is the gazlan who's costing himself his own life by not paying his workers on time, and the other one says, no, it is the nigzal whose life you're taking away. Mandi amar nafsho shel gazlan, the one that says that is the gazlan's life, d'chsiv al tigzal dal, it's based on the pasuk. Pasuk says, do not rob a poor person, ki dalhu, because he is poor, va'al titka ani bishar, and don't oppress an ani bishar. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, and what happens if you do this, if you take advantage of the poor and you steal from them, ki Hashem yariv rivam v'kavayas kaveyam nefesh. Hashem is going to fight their battles and he's going to rob the life of those who rob them. So you see, it's shel gazlan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rob the life of the gazlan for robbing them. Uman yamar nafsho shel nigzal, the one that says that it's the nefesh of the nigzal, says, no, d'chsiv, there's another pasuk. Kein orchos kol botzei abetzas nefesh ba'alav yikach, that people who are greedy and do things for monetary gain, as nefesh ba'alav yikach, they take away the nefesh of the owner of that money, of the rightful owner of the money. So you see that it's the nefesh of the nigzal that is being taken away. So what does each one do with the other pasuk? V'idach nami haksivis nefesh ba'alav yikach. But doesn't the pasuk say that it's taking away the nefesh of the nigzal? So how can the first opinion hold that it's the nefesh of the gazlan? So he says, no, ba'alav doesn't mean the rightful owner. It means ba'alav dahashta, the current owner, meaning the robber, the one who has made kinyan gzela by stealing. That's what ba'alav means. I v'idach nami haksiv v'kavas kaveyam nefesh. But what do you do with the pasuk of v'kavas kaveyam nefesh? Hashem is going to rob the life of those who rob them. Doesn't that tell you Doesn't that tell you that the word kava, you see, means rob, right? That's what some explain. Kavati itim l'Torah is not just to set aside time to learn Torah every day, but to steal time for Torah. That when there's good reason that you would think that you shouldn't be learning, that to steal a moment here, a moment there during the day to be able to learn Torah. That's the kavati itim l'Torah, the six questions we're going to be asked l'asadava. So anyway, vidach nami yaksiv kavas kaveim nefesh. What do you do with kavas kaveim nefesh? Well, meaning if you say that it's the nefesh of the nigzal, what do you do with that pasuk? Sounds like Hashem is going to take the life of the gazlan. No, matam ka'amar, matam kaves kaveim. Why is it that kaves kaveim mishum denatul nefesh? It's not that Hashem is going to steal the nefesh. Hashem is going to punish you. Why is Hashem going to fight the battle of the nigzal? Why is he going to take vengeance on the person who perpetrated this crime? It's because denatul nefesh, because the guy who did this had taken a nefesh from the nigzal. It's not his own nefesh. It's the nefesh of the nigzal. So the Mishnah said, but all of this whole isser of not paying a worker on time is only when they have already requested payment. But lo tavo eno overlove. If they never asked you, they never made a claim on the money, so then there is no violation yet. Tan Rabbanan, lo salin pulas sachir. Pasuk says lo salin pulas sachir. So we're going to have three mi'utim from the word itcha. Yach lafil lo tavo. First of all, you might have thought that it's a violation even if the guy never even yet asked for the money, that it's already a violation of Baal Talmud. So Tamil Omar, itcha l'daitcha. That's why he says itcha. No, that it's only when it's l'daitcha, when you're the one that's withholding it and not midaito. If it's midaito and he's okay with it because he hasn't asked for the money, then it's not included in the isser. There's no isser. Yachal second miut yachal afilu ein lo. I might think that even if you don't have the money, that you're in violation. Tamlomer itcha sheyesh itcha. That's why it says itcha to tell me, no, you're only in violation if you actually have the money. The question is, what do you call having the money? Let's say I happen to not have any cash. I have millions of dollars of assets. I own all sorts of things, whether it be karka, metaltalin, all sorts of things, but I don't have the cash. Is that called that ain lo? So the Rush writes in Simon Mem Gimel that if a person doesn't have any money, he's parted from paying. Sounds like even if he has plenty of objects and plenty of schora that he's able to sell, still he's parted from paying if he doesn't have any money. And that's the shita, the explicit shita of the Magid Mishnah. And he says, because the din of a sachir is to pay him money. So you're not allowed to pay him shava kesef. So that's it. If you don't have money, that's called that it's eino. The Rambam says, for example, in Hilchos Schirus, that you're not allowed to decide to pay peiros instead of paying cash when the worker was hired to pay cash. So it works the l'chumra and l'kula, that it's the l'chumra that you have to pay him cash, but it's l'kula that if you don't have cash, then you don't have to pay him till you get cash. The Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishpat in Shemlam Tes paskins that if a person doesn't have money, he's potter. And that's the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And he says, even if you have many metaltalin, because you're only supposed to pay him with cash. So there's a significant group, Rishonim, Achronim, Shulchan Aruch, that you don't have to sell anything. Maril Diskin in the Kuntras Achron brings a raya to this shita, because it says if you don't even have metaltalin, so then I need a drasha to tell me I don't have to pay him. If you don't have metaltalin, you know what we call that? That's called an anus. An anus, rechmana patre. That's always the din. Call that tarakula. If a person is an anus, there's nothing you can do about it, so he's pater from every din. So of course he's pater from the violation of baltalin. Why do I need a drasha itcha? It must mean that it's telling me that you're not necessarily categorized as an anus, because you have plenty of schayri, you have plenty of things that you could sell. Nevertheless, you don't have to sell. However, not all Rishonim agree with that. In the Chidush Miuchas and the Ritva, he says if a person has ochel that's omid l'mechira, that he's able to sell, he's got to sell it in order to pay his workers. And the Talmud Rashba says that he has to sell metaltalin, even karka he has to sell, if that's what it's going to take to pay his workers. Sefer Achinuch writes that if a balabayis needs to be ma'abid harbe mishalo, then he doesn't have to do it. So Rabbi Kiveger, yeah, harbe mishalo. He doesn't have to give up like his whole house. He doesn't have to give up everything. but a little bit, if he can sell off some things, mishaloh, that he should be able to do, that he should do, in order to pay for a schirus. That a person should have some self-sacrifice when he has employees who have not yet gotten paid. In the Sefer Avas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim writes that if you don't have money to pay your workers, but you're able to borrow money, so he says that you should do that. You have to borrow money al menas l'shalim. That's a greater chiddush. You know that when I have items that I can sell, at least it's mine. At least I already have it. The Chafetz Chaim holds one even needs to borrow money, and he says then you'd be mekayim the mitzvah ve'chzaktabo. And Sefer Chesed, he adds that if it's not going to take a tircha meruba in order to get a loan from someone, it could be even mitzad adin that one is obligated to do so. Shulchan Aruch Rav disagrees. Now that's already a little much to say that a guy has to borrow money in order to pay the workers, to put himself into debt, so that you know, in general, when it comes to mitzvahs, what do we say? Hamavazvez al yivazvez yoser michomesh. Why shema ye ani, lest you become poor? You know, it's a sure way to become poor. That not only is the person going to spend a lot of money, he's going to put himself in debt. He's going to put oneself in debt is very likely not an obligation. That's how Shulchan Aruch Rav holds. Third drasha, yachla filum chaveitzel chen v'ni veitzel shulchani. You might think that even if you already signed off that a chen v'ni or a shulchani will be the one who's in charge of paying the workers. Tamalomar idcha v'loshem chaveitzel chen v'ni veitzel shulchani. That's why the pasuk says idcha, that once you already pass it off to a chen v'ni or a shulchani, then it's no longer your violation of not paying him on time, because the chen v'ni and shulchani are the ones who are now responsible. What's unclear, though, is if the sacher has to be in agreement with that arrangement. Meaning, yeah, I decided that the chen v'ni and the shulchan is going to pay you. And what if the sacher didn't say, I think that's a good idea? If he says it's a good idea, fine, so good. So then he agreed to it. But what if he didn't? So the Sefer Achinuch, a mitzvah reish lam, and he says, the balabayis only violates bal talin. He does not violate bal talin if himcho etzel chen v'ni v'kibel apoel. He adds those words, v'kibel apoel. That the poel was mekabel that deal. Sounds like you need the haskama of the poel. So Sharam Mishpat just raises the question that if the sachir is maskim, so then obviously he's not being toveya the balabayas, because he was maskim that it's going to go to the chanvini or the shulchani. But isn't that a separate thing? That if he's not toveya anyway, it's not baltalin. So what's this extra drasha that we're learning that by a chanvini or shulchani you avoid baltalin? If by definition when it's by a chanvini or shulchani with his haskama, there's no toveya. So that's the kasha that he asks on the shita of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Schirus, Oshim Cho Eitzel Acher V'kibel Hareza Pater. Now he only adds that one word, V'kibel. So that the Achronim aren't sure, because the Mishnah is not sure. What does V'kibel mean? Does it mean that the Poel accepts it, or does it mean that the Chenveni is Mekabel to do the job that you asked him to do the paying of your workers? So Big Nafkamina, do you need the Poel to actually accept it? Not abundantly clear from the Lashon of the Rambam, one way or the other. The Kesef Mishnah is noted to say that V'kibel is going on the Chenveni, that the Chenveni, the Shulchri, has to be Kibel, but you don't need the Kabbalah of the Poel himself. Okay. Himcha Eitzel Chenveni Veitzel Shulchri Eino Over. So he said, if the chenveni or the shulchani is put in charge of paying, so then you don't violate bal talin. Iboilu, chozer o eino chozer. So the way Rashi understands this question is that if the sachir goes to the balabayas, and because the chenveni hasn't paid him, does now the balabayas, is the balabayas now responsible, and is he now in violation of bal talin? Rav Sheshe Samar eino chozer. Rav Sheshe says he could not go back to the balabayas. Rabba Omar chozer. Rabba says he can go back to the balabais. Amar Rabba mina minala. So Rabba says, where do I get the idea that he can go back to the balabais? Midiktani eino over alav. Because it says eino over alav, that he's not in violation of baltalin when you had given the job to the chenveni, the shulchani, to do the paying. Mavru delo avar, hamahadar hadar. It may not be a violation, but he can certainly come to you to ask for payment. Rav Sheshe Samar may eino over. Eino betoras lavar. Eino over means he's not even in the parsha. He's no longer the person you go to for your wages, because it is now the job of the chenveni and the shulchani. This is all Rashi's understanding, that chozer, o eino chozer, is can he go to collect from the original Balabais. Tosfos has three other understandings of the exact suffix of the Gemara over here. One Tosfos says the Chevani wants to be chozer after the hamcha, that he decides, nah, I don't want to pay it, I'm not interested. So if the sachir, does the sachir have the zchus to be tovea the balabayis, that he should pay him, or is he mochel on the zchus at the time of the hamcha, and he's mekabel on himself, that he'll do whatever it takes to get paid from the chenveni. So chozer ain't a chozer means, if the chenveni is chozer, can the sachir now go back to the balabayis, or does the balabayis say, look, you agreed originally, and therefore you've given up any right to come to me. Chenveni's chozer, that's not my problem. Go sue him. Go do whatever you can to get the money from the chenveni. Second possibility, Tosel says, that the chenveni once is going to pay the sachir, like he accepted, and he's not chozer bo. The issue is, does the sachir have the right to be tovel the balabayis instead of the chenveni? Yeah, I know that you said that I can go get paid from the chenveni, but he's not the person I really had to deal with, so can I go and claim from the balabayis instead, even though the chenveni is willing to pay? So that's the question of the Gemara of chozer or ain't chozer. Third possibility tells to suggest that the sachir is able to be chozer balabayis for sure. He doesn't lose his chuz even when the balabayis has pawned it off to the chenveni or to the shulchani to take care of it. The suffix of the Gemara is with regard to the Isser Baltalin. If when the sachir goes to the balabayis on that first day, is the balabayis now in violation of Baltalin? Meaning if you assume that the sachir has the right to go to the balabayis, so then the question becomes, okay, now is there a violation of Baltalin? That was the whole shayla of the Gemara. So different interpretations what exactly the Gemara's question was. But now the Gemara moves on to the next question. Bo minei me rav sheshes. Kablanus over lav mishum baltalin, noin over mishum baltalin. When one is a kablan, is there a violation of baltalin, or is there not a violation of baltalin? Meaning you hire someone to tailor your garment, or something like that, to fix something of yours. Is there a violation of baltalin not to pay him in a timely fashion? So Uma, and what does this relate to? The Gemara assumes, Tosfos points out at the bottom, this is not part of Rav Sheshes' question. This is the Gemara's interpretation of Rav Sheshes' question, because otherwise Rav Sheshes' shitos won't be consistent throughout Shas. Uman kona b'shvach kli v'halva'ahi. Do we assume that uman kona b'shvach kli, that as an uman works on the kli, he's kona that kli, and therefore it's a halva'a? Or do we say that an uman is not kona b'shvach kli, and therefore it's a schirus? By a halva'a, there's no baltalin. By a schirus, there's baltalin. So it would seem to relate to whether uman kona b'shvach kli. Meaning, how does it work? You give me your garment to tailor. So as I'm improving it, I'm making it worth more. Am I kona a chelek of that garment, or is it no? It's your garment through and through, from beginning to end. It's just that now you owe me money for the job that I did. So that's the issue of the mechanics of paying a kablan. So Rav Sheshes over. Rav Sheshes says it is a violation of Baltalin. The Vatanya Eino over, but then the Brisa say that Eino over. Hasam Shemcha Eitzel Chenveni Veitzel Shulchani. Yeah, Eino over if you happen to have given it to a Chenveni or to, you have given over the responsibility to a Chenveni or a Shulchani. Neima Misayele says, well, bring a Raya. Hanosin Talisa Luuman. You bring your talis to an Uman to work on it. Gamra, he finishes the job. Vodio, and he lets you know that it's ready for pickup. You leave it by the cleaners. You just leave it there for 10 days. And instead of picking it up and paying the cleaners, you have not yet violated Baltalin, because he's still holding on to the garment. So it's like he's got a mashkon. Nasan lo b'chatzi ayom. But if he delivers it to you, so you have your garment back, even middle of the day, Mishashokol of Chama over Mishum Baltalin. That same day, at sunset, it's already a violation of Baltalin. You have to pay him. But V'yamr Dumun Korn B'Shvachli, am I over? If you hold Dumun Korn B'Shvachli, why is it a violation of Baltalin? There's no Dumun Korn B'Shvachli if it's, there's no Baltalin if you would say Dumun Korn B'Shvachli. Right? So isn't this a raya that it's Ein Dumun Korn B'Shvachli? Some Rav Murray braid the Rav Kahana begarda de sarvila. Maybe you're talking about where you're taking a thick cloth and you're sort of teasing it out, you're making it thinner. So it's actually a downgrade of the value of the kli, just for whatever reason. It makes it more comfortable for the person, but it makes it much more flimsy and much less valuable. So there is no shvach kli to be kona with. So in that case, that's where there's going to be a baltalim, when there is no shvach kli. Well, why would you give a kli to someone to mess it up? What was the? Now, obviously, you wanted it to be softer, even though it's going to last. It's not going to last as long now. But obviously, you wanted this clothing to be softer. Well, hainu shivchei. That is the shavach then. Don't tell me there's no shvach kli. There's a shvach kli. It's a little bit of a give and take, but there's a shvach kli. So lo tzricha de ka'agri minei lebatushe betasho b'ma'asa. Then no, you hired the guy to stamp on it and soften it that way, meaning to do a particular job, and you're paying him for the work, whether it works or not. Meaning you're paying him for his effort and for his stamping on the garment, regardless of what actually happens to the kli in the end of the day. The mefarshim are done on the issue. What it means, uman kona b'shvach, what exactly the gedder of uman kona b'shvach kli is. Meaning, what does he own? I'm a worker. I work on your suit and I tailor it. So what do I own now? I own the suit. I own part of the suit. What exactly is it? Shumas Hadeshan is not sure. Does it mean that you own the kli itself or the shevach of the kli? It's only in the shevach of the kli. Is it that since I mashbiach the kli, I own the whole kli? Or no, when I mashbiach the kli, I own the shevach, but I don't own the gufa kli. Shumas Hadeshan is noted to say that you're only of the shevach, because Rashi in Baba Kama Daf Tzadi Tes sounds that way, because he says when the uman is machzir the rings to the isha that he made and he's mekadisher b'shvacha d'islei begavei. B'shvacha d'islei begavei. That's all he's got is the shevach that it's islei begavei. The ktsos quotes the different shitos. He quotes that shita of the Trumas Deshen. He quotes the Marash HaLevi, who also is down in this shayla, and he thinks that no, that you're actually kona the gufakli, and the ktsos seems to assume that you're only kona the shevach like the Trumas Deshen. And he says, you know, and it's not even an absolute kinyan in the shevach. It's not mamish yours. And the raya is, if it were really mamish yours, how could the Bailim force you to give it back to him? Meaning, he's going to say, give me my suit back. No, it's my suit also, because I was kona. So I mean, it doesn't mean that it's mamish yours, that you're actually kona it. It means, legabe certain dinim, you have kinyanim in it. So legabe being kaddish and isha, these kinds of things, you have kinyanim in it. I once heard from Rabbi Ganak, I think in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that you know, the Rambam writes that kom lachos she'eved osa l'rabo, talmud osa l'rabo, that anything that an eved is chayev to do for his master, a talmud has to do for his master. So Soloveitchik said, where is the Maisa Kinyan in the Talmud? How did a Rebbe make a Kinyan in the Talmud? By an Eved, they're a Kinyanim. So how could, by what was he Kona the Eved? So he says the Kinyan is Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, that the Rebbe was, he improved the Talmud. So that's the Kinyan that he made in the Talmud. So it's a nice Machshava. Okay, Sachar Bizmano Nishba V'Notel. The Mishnah said that a Sachar Bizmano is Nishba V'Notel, that if the guy says, I haven't gotten paid yet, and it's still the Zman when he's supposed to be getting paid, he could just take a Shavua and then he will get paid. So says Mar Sachar, Amayta Kinyan LeRabbanon L'Mishtav V'Shakil. Why were the Rabbanon Misakein that a Sachar could just take a Shavua and get paid? Amar V'Dor Mishmuel, Halachos Gedolos Shonukan. These are major Halachos that we're learning over here. Now, when we say the word Halacha, we just mean a Jewish law. But when the Gemara says the word Halacha, the Gemara typically means Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So the Gemara says, Hani Hilchseninu? Hani Takanus Ninu? Ah, Halacha. This is not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. These are clearly Takanos midrabanan. So what are you talking about halachos? Elam Ridom Shmuel Takanos Gedolos Shanukan. You're right. That's what we should have said. What we meant to say is Takanos Gedolos Shanukan. Gedolos Mechaldika Katanos. Ooh, Gedolos makes it sound like in comparison to something else that there's something that's Katanos. The Tosfos just points out, it doesn't seem that the Gemara asks that question everywhere. There are other places where we say Takana Gedola, and we're not looking for a Takana Katana that goes along with it. But for whatever reason, we ask the question over here. Ella Amar of Nachman Rav Shmuel Takanos Kavuos Shanukan. No, what we mean over here is not Takanos Gedolos, but rather Takanos Kavuos. Rashi says Lashon Kavuos means that it's Ra'oi L'Kavam, even if it's going to be Oker Dov Minat Torah. That on a Daraisa level, you're not Nishba V'Notel, but it's Ra'oi to be koveya such a takana that a sachar could be nishma benotel, even though that by definition is going to be oker davar min haTorah. In Shuvas Rashi, he says takanos kavuos means takanos that we have a chiyuv to be mekayim these takanos. He says that's where it's a chovah lekayimam. He explains based on that the lashon of the Gemara brachos chavav tefilas arvis ein la keva. We know when we daven marav. We daven marav at night. We daven marav when it's no longer zman mincha, right? What does it mean? Ein la keva. So he says, no, ein la keva means ein la chov. It's another way of saying tefilas arvis reshus, which the Gemara says that the takanos kavuos means a takana that we have a chiyuv toward, that we have a chiyuv to uphold. Shvua de balabayis he. The really on a darais level, the shvua, if anything, should have been the balabayis a shvua. Va'akrur rabban the shvua, meaning he should have taken the shvua that he already did pay and then nishba v'niftar. So Vakru Rabban Shvu the Balabais Shadu Asachir Mishum Kade Chayev the Sachir. The Rabban uprooted the Shvu from the Balabais and instead gave it to the Sachir so that the Sachir will be able to support himself, will be able to get paid and be able to support his family. Umishum Kade Chayev the Sachir Mafsadnale the Balabais. You know, there are two sides of every Din Torah and Din Imamanis. So because we feel bad for the Sachir, why don't you feel bad for the Balabais? You know, he also has to make a living. So Balabais Gufei Nichle, the Balabais prefers it this way, the mishtava sachar v'shakil, that the sachar should have the control of the situation to be able to take a shvua and get paid. Because the balabais wants to be an employer that people want to work for, right? There's a reason that Google has all those perks at the office. They want the best talent, so they want to be an employer that people are interested in working for. Sachar gufei nichalei the mishtava balabais v'yifka kiyechi delegruhu. Well, wouldn't the sachar prefer it the other way then? Wouldn't the Sakhir prefer that the Balabais be in control so that people would want to hire him? So says Mar Balabais al Karche Agir. The Balabais has no choice. He needs employees. Well, Sakhir Nam al Karche Itgar. This is the market. The way it works is that the Sakhir needs a job also. So what does that mean? One of them is more desperate than the other. El Balabais Tar Bipalim. Well, it's a totally different Svara. The reason the Balabais doesn't take a Shvua is because we assume the Balabais is too preoccupied with other responsibilities that he's likely to forget whether he paid the sachir or not. Nothing to do with whether he prefers this arrangement, doesn't prefer this arrangement. Just likely to forget, so we don't trust that he really knows it. So then give it to the sachir without a shvua. Yeah, but kedei lav is daito shel balabais. That's going to be very troubling for the balabais to just give to the sachir without a shvua. He's going to be very uncomfortable with that. He's going to feel like he's being taken advantage of. So why don't you give it without a shvua? We should be misakein that you should always pay your workers with Aden. That should be the takana, and then we're never going to have this problem in the first place. Well, trichlu milsa, that's very annoying to always find Aden anytime you want to give your worker a paycheck. Vinesvle meyukara, why don't we just pay him in advance before he gets too busy in the morning, before he does his work? So says Marno, shneim rotzim ba'akafa. Neither of them want such a deal. They both want to get paid, they both want the payment to be after the job is done. Ihachi afilu katzatznami. So if that's the case, that the balvais is tarud, then even if they set a price, you should still say the same din. Alamatanya, why do we have a price that says Uman Omer Shtayim Ksasli Valomer Lo Ksasli Lach Elachas Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya? That the balabais is going to win the argument if they're arguing about how much the wages were. Well, shouldn't we say the balabais is tarud? The tzitz of vaday midkar dekiri leinchi. You know what you pay your workers. You just don't know if you have paid them. But everyone knows exactly how much of a salary they were offering in the first place, and that's why that is not in the control of the sachir to be able to determine. Then we would say, "Amotzi mechavero alav harayah." Okay, but we'll pick up three lines from the bottom tomorrow. Oh, yeah.